One of President-elect Trump's central campaign promises was to enact stricter immigration policies and to deport immigrants who are in the country illegally, starting with those who have committed crimes, which Trump says is about 2 or 3 million people. He also pledged to end President Obama's executive actions on immigration. These statements are causing anxiety among immigrants and advocates across the country. And joining us now via Skype is Ahilan Arulanantham, who is the director of advocacy and legal director at the ACLU of Southern California. He's also a 2016 MacArthur Fellow. Welcome to Here and Now.
Thanks for having me.
And what kind of questions have you been getting from immigrants about their situations since the election of Trump?
There's certainly a lot of fear. And I've gotten both very specific questions about people's particular immigration status and have also gotten more general questions about would the president-elect have the power to do? Can he really make good on many of the statements that he made during the campaign? Questions like that.
And can he? What are you telling them?
Well, the Due Process Clause has not been abolished, every person is protected by the Due Process Clause under the Fifth Amendment. So there's a longstanding body of law that governs how the government can treat people when it wants to deport them. Most obviously that in most cases, not in all, but in most cases, have to go in front of an immigration judge who has an obligation to provide a fair hearing. So that imposes significant constraints on what anyone, any administration can do by way of trying to deport people who it claims are here unlawfully.
But when it comes to the issue of due process, you just argued before the Supreme Court basically on this issue about whether people who are detained have a right to try to persuade a judge that they ought to be released.
Yes. And I thought it was very significant that although there seemed to be a lot of disagreement about how you implement the due process protections for such people, there didn't seem to me anyway to be a lot of dispute that there are limits created by the Constitution as to how long you can hold somebody without a hearing. You know, the government's kind of core position, which is you can hold people for as long as it takes, and there really are no constraints on their power to hold people, to detain people in you know, prison-like conditions and immigration detention, really didn't. It didn't seem like there was anyone who was endorsing that view amongst the justices on the bench.
When you hear Donald Trump say he just wants to deport the criminals who are in this country illegally, what do you hear there? Because some people would say they're all criminals because they are here without documentation. So how do you decide who's one of the few million that Trump plans to deport quickly?
Many people who are going through the deportation process have not committed a crime in order to come here. And whether or not that was true, they have lawful status now. You know, so the two biggest chunks of people, for example, that were at issue in the Supreme Court case that we argued are lawful permanent residents, that's green card holders, who have been convicted of a crime and have finished serving their sentence. And now the government is trying to strip away their green card and deport them because of the fact that they had been convicted. Because you have a lot of people, for example, convicted of simple drug possession. Now, the law subjects you to deportation in that situation, but it gives judges the discretion to choose to let that person stay if, for example, they have a spouse or a child who is dependent on them and they've lived in this country for a long period of time, or they've gone through successful rehabilitation since the offense and things like that. You know, then you have other people who have overstayed visas. That's not a crime to overstay your visa. Or, for example, many of them are people who fled from persecution and they arrived at the border, sometimes from the most violent countries on earth, and asked for asylum. And our law has protected that since World War II. We have protected the right of people who have fled persecution and now more recently or torture to come to the United States and have a safe haven here. And so people like that also, it doesn't make any sense to say, well, you've broken a law, and so we have to deport you. Well, you know, many cases they didn't break a law. They came to the border and asked for asylum because they were fleeing violence.
Is that the kind of person that you think he's talking about, though, when he says he's going to deport criminals?
There's a lot of ambiguity in the statements that Donald Trump has made, so it's really hard to know. I would hope he's not talking about that, and I would hope that people trying to implement or listen to his policies don't think of people like that. I've heard him say, we're talking about 2 or 3 million people who are criminals.
Right.
You know, but there aren't 2 or 3 million people who are convicted of deportable offenses.
Well, let me ask you about another thing that he said, which is that Obama has deported so many immigrants over his time in office, about 2.9 million between 2009 and 2014. So I, Trump, am not doing anything drastically different than what he's been doing.
Yes, we'll see what he does, but that statement is absolutely correct. President Obama has been perhaps the most draconian enforcer of the immigration laws in modern history. And particularly when it comes to detention, you know, the argument that I was making in the Supreme Court, I mean, that's not the Trump administration. That's the Obama administration defending a rule that you can lock people up for years without giving them a hearing in front of a judge just to ask if they can be released because they're not a danger or flight risk. And you know, the Obama administration now is sort of tonight, there will be something like 41 or 42,000 people who will go to sleep in an immigration detention center. And that is by far the highest number in the history of the country. Most of those people, well over half of them, have no criminal conviction.
What do you say to the dreamers, the people who are affected by DACA, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, that was an executive order by President Obama? Donald Trump has said that's unconstitutional and he wants to immediately terminate it. So are they in trouble? Are they, should they be worried?
I think, unfortunately, that they should be worried. I think it's going to be a very important early test of the administration as to whether those threats or promises, whatever you want to call them, end up being carried out. Because you know, even if you can't agree on every aspect of immigration enforcement, it should be easy to agree that people who were brought here as children by their parents, who didn't even know in many cases, you know, what their immigration status was until they were teenagers or young adults, and that have known no other country, that the people like that really ought to be given the right to stay here. And there was quite widespread bipartisan support for that idea. And it'll be interesting to see if the administration insists on the, in my view, unjust treatment of those people that the president-elect has suggested he might undertake.
Do you think that he will stick to that, or do you think he's going to soften on it?
Who knows? You know, it's no one ever made any money trying to predict what Donald Trump would do. And it's very, very hard to say. Certainly the people who have been discussed as being in charge of immigration enforcement are people who really represent the radical fringe of immigration enforcement viewpoints, and the people who really are out of step with what the vast majority of Americans, really on both sides of the Democrat-Republican aisle, think about immigration enforcement.
As somebody who knows the immigration system in this country better than probably anybody else, do you think that if we were simply to dramatically beef up our staff dealing with immigration and our government agencies dealing with immigration, that we could process people and do things the right way and everything would work out okay? We wouldn't have all of these issues with people who are here without documentation? Or is that a kind of a separate issue?
No, I think that's the resource shortages within the immigration court system are a huge part of the problem. And you know, the two things that the system needs more than anything else, it needs lawyers for immigrants, because that's not just as a matter of fairness, but because it speeds up the system, makes it much more efficient, and decreases the amount of time that people spend in immigration detention and the amount of time the cases spend on the docket. And then it needs far more immigration judges. Immigration judges' average caseload is around 1,900 cases pending open at a time. Those are a huge factor in the way the system runs.
Well, Ahilan Arulanantham, Director of Advocacy and Legal Director at the ACLU of Southern California, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.